Now, I'm going to talk about the Sephardic Jewish community at length. I think the next four or five lectures will be about how the Jews came to Spain and the Sephardic Jewish community and their leaders. Here we always have a problem because, in effect, we now have a two-screen show going on at the same time. Because at the same time that the Sephardic Jews are developing in North Africa and in Spain, the Ashkenazic Jews are beginning to develop in France and the German Rhineland. And even though in terms of time they lived in the same time, they really lived in two different worlds, completely two different worlds. The Jews in North Africa and Spain lived in a Muslim world, they lived in a Sunni world, they lived in a world where for the time that they lived in, it was tolerant towards them. It allowed Jews a great deal of freedom. It was, for a long period of time, the best of all times. The Ashkenazic Jew never had a good day. He lived in a Christian world, in a superstitious world, in a primitive world, in a world of constant danger and hatred. He lived in a colder climate. We'll see later that the Rambam Maimonides, in one of his famous jabs against some of the French rabbis who disagreed with him, said that they can't help it because their brains are frozen. The climate is cold. They lived in a very unfriendly world. And because of, and then they're going to live in the world of the Crusades. They're going to live in a world of terrible fanaticism, in a world of feudalism, of constant war, in the world of the Black Death. I mean, you have, it's just, it's mind-boggling to imagine how Ashkenazic Jewry grew and developed and survived in those early centuries of their development. So it's two different worlds and two different stories. And in order for us to really get any sort of handle on it, at least the way I want to address it, is we'll take one story and do it from the beginning, like to the end. We'll do Spanish, North African Spanish Jewry from 900 to 1500 straight, and then we'll go back and do Ashkenazic Jewry from 900 to 1500 straight. But before we do that, there is one thing that I do want to mention regarding Ashkenazic Jewry, a basic point that all of us should have to know and remember, and it's, again, a one person whose stature influenced the Jewish people throughout the ages. And that man was the famous Rabbeinu Gershom ben Yehuda, and he's known to us the Chayrim, the Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom is really the end of the Gaonim, the last of that period. He was born in 960. He was born in Mainz, and he died in 1030, and he lived most of his life in the French Rhineland, though he did travel to as far south as Yugoslavia on the Adriatic. A man who had a terribly tragic life himself. His son converted to become a Catholic. The Mordechai brings in Moed Katan that Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva 14 days on his son, not seven. Because he said, if God forbid somebody dies and he dies physically, so that's 7 days. But someone that dies spiritually, so he sat 14 days Shiva. He was a person of great tragedy in many, many respects. But he was a person of enormous stature. And he is really the father of Ashkenazic Jewry. Just as the Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzhak Fassi and Rabbeinu Hananel are the fathers of Sephardic Jewry, he was the father of Ashkenazic Jewry. And he is best known and most remembered to us for a number of decrees which are mentioned in his name, which have become binding upon Ashkenazic Jewry, and in our time, binding.